Welcome to our lunchtime date together with me, John Ballam. I am an organizational development consultant, I'm an educator, and I'm a coach with a passion for lifelong learning. With me today is my partner in crime, Gifty.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gifty Parker, HR professional with a background in learning and development, performance management, as well as talent management.
So for the next 20 minutes, we invite you to sit back, find a glass of something nice, and enjoy an unusual conversation with us.
So yeah, the question, why are we doing this? Why are we doing this? I think it has so many folds.
And that's, I think the dimensions are very important. Because I don't see life, and I don't think either as one layer. You know, in academics, we talk about deep structure, where we produce many, many layers to motivation or meaning. And so I guess one of the meaning things for me about this is that spoke about this earlier, I think, that some of the conversations I've had with people that have been the most significant have been when they've taken the theory, and I think good theory is phenomenal, okay, but they've applied it to their lives or haven't applied it, and they have been honest about what it was like to take the map into the territory and whether they were able to take the map into the territory. Okay. So, you know, in ancient Greek, they had this idea of excellence. It's called arete, and it means skillful knowledge, not just head knowledge, but something you can actually do something with. And that's kind of what I've learned from people who I've been in conversation with. Not just head knowledge, but I can take this now and I can go and actually do something.
And it's more powerful when we talk about skillful knowledge, where the person who's actually sharing the knowledge has actually acquired the knowledge through their own experience.
Exactly.
So we're going away from the academic. We're going away from the textbook. We're going away from the theories. We are capitalizing on that experience, that unique experience for each individual, and being able to share that. Yeah.
I like it very much.
I think this not being able to see life in one dimension, also, I would see that in this podcast, what we're doing, we're not just trying to share skillful knowledge. We're trying to do that in a way where we can invite people to our own comfort zone. We can invite people into what we actually do to connect, what we actually do to, you know, have a balance in our lives.
Yes, yes, yes.
Lunch in a beautiful park and just having a conversation.
Yeah, agreed. You know, there's this notion of learning, which I like. It's called geodesic learning, which means that we are continually learning at multiple levels. So sometimes, for example, you have a conversation with somebody and you know there's something there, but you can't find it. Weeks later, it clicks in. That's what they actually mean. So we're learning all the time. I like this, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And the other interesting thing is that there's a soul in learning, which this kind of conversation brings about. So, for example, you know, I make my own home jams and I grow my own vegetables and everything, and I have great joy in getting to the stuff with friends. And I know that if you want the ultimate jam or the ultimate tea, you can have spent the money and you can find it somewhere commercially available to you. But there's, so my peas aren't perfect and my jams aren't perfect, but there's a soulfulness, right? When we share its very practical level of our produce, of our knowledge. And that, you know, kind of makes life worth living for me. I don't think we're perfect, but there's a feeling.
That's feeling. You know, when I just moved to Canada, I had to make lunch for my niece and nephew because I was supporting my sister back then. And not a very good cook, so I'm always very interested to know what do they want, how do they want it. Okay, what do you want for lunch, Destiny and Emmanuel? And Destiny, my niece, will say, Auntie, anything that you cook with love is okay. And then I go, oh my God, oh my God, you just tell me what you want.
That's true, I'm going to open it, but yeah, it's great. But that's exactly.
But yeah, so, you know, like saying your jam, you know, you can get jam outside, you can buy that, you can find people who do different flavors of it.
Right.
And the one you do with that love, with that attention, it goes.
And it's unique. I mean, the shop can't do because obviously expense involved.
Reminds me of IKEA effect. You know, the IKEA effect where you buy the IKEA furniture and you put it together. It's the best furniture ever.
Because you put
because
it together.
You put the effort into it.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I sometimes think that the business literature takes itself too seriously. You know? Mm-hmm. I mean, I know there are big things at stake. I get this. But there's this kind of like, you know, not enough laughter sometimes in some of the texts I read. Ease with, you know, when I study TQM, I know it's something really powerful and that we come up with the best solution today, but that solution is going to be tomorrow's problem.
Yep.
Your petrol car.
And that's the reality of life, the life that we lead, you know.
It's going to change.
It is the reality. It's going to change.
It's going to change.
And it will.
So how do we, you know, put our egos in our back pockets and say, well, we would love to have come up with a great solution, but we're going to say, it's only temporary. Yeah, and it's going to change tomorrow. But as long as I have flexibility intellectually and emotionally to roll with that, then it'll be okay.
To roll with that change and to be in a situation where you anticipate more change.
And to let my ideas go.
Yeah.
Okay. My best ideas go sometimes as odd, you know, they become like your babies. Moody babies and darlings.
And I love what you just said, to let your ideas go, because I work with people who, they have a great idea, and most of the time it is actually super awesome, but it's not necessarily the right one, because, and I see them where they feel disappointed that their idea is not being considered, and I'm always so interested to speak to them and let them understand. Last week we talked about change, and we went over employees and employers, you know, what are some things that should be considered in order to ensure there is change. We just talked about it now. Change is inevitable. Making people comfortable.
Right.
So today, I thought maybe we'll go over some questions around change.
Sure.
One of the questions is actually coming from McKinsey and Company's article where they gave recommendations for fostering change.
Right.
Fostering connectivity. And one of them is to embrace the hybrid.
Yes.
So they talked about frequent communication, transparency as the organization moves into unison. And then there was a question. And that question is, what does this mean for employees at all levels? So when we talk about transparency, frequent communication, we talk about embracing the hybrid model. Is this the same for everyone within the organization? Is this actually practical for everyone to embrace a hybrid model?
I don't think so. I think, you know, like with anything, when it's new, there was this big romance about working from home. And I think it worked for many, many people. But for some people, it didn't, right? And for some people, they actually wanted to be away from home. They wanted to be someplace different. And so I think we've got to look at how people are most productive. And I think we've got to look at what structure is our organization most productive. And if those two windows come together, I think we can then say, yeah, it's the hybrid model. It really works. For some people, to work away from home. I have a friend right now. He's a lot of administration, and she's away probably 2 days a week. Whitney's an home to do her admin, which gives her time to go face-to-face. She doesn't get interrupted. That means.
So I guess when we talk about transparency should be also not just transparency in terms of this is what we're doing as an organization, or this is why it's changed. It will also be transparency in employees being comfortable to say what their situation is.
Yes.
Because everybody is different.
Yes.
For some people, it may work. So maybe, and maybe not for a brief period of time.
Yes.
But not forever and forever, something that is. But yes, I think that transparency should be something that is cascaded all the way down, where junior employees also had that opportunity to be transparent about their situation.
Yeah.
I was reading your notes. I read your notes, but you said something about the leaders and the team have a great deal of work to do in terms of the purpose and the goal of the change, establishing internal and stakeholders analysis to also see how does that change impact them as well. So I thought that was very good. You know, we were talking about embracing the hybrid work model. It's not just those within the organization. It's also considering this other stakeholders. So that was very nice of you to write that as well.
Can I comment a bit further on that? So the stakeholder analysis model, why I like it, is because it looks at what's good for the employees, what's good for the organization, what's good for the stakeholders. But more than that, good stakeholder analysis looks at when we begin to implement the change, what's everybody got to win and lose for this change? And how can we make it a win for everybody as opposed to a lose? So in all change, there's some loss and gain. And we want to try and anticipate that. And to do that, we must know, this person is going to resist this change because of this. It's going to be hard for them. So how can we cushion that effect? Give them the benefits without selling them on a false way to them. So we then help people adjust to change as best they can. And sometimes if I think of myself particularly as a junior employee, I needed that guidance. I had bosses who came to me and said, John, you're actually this sort of person, not that person. Or, this, when I see your strength, there's not this. And that's part of change for me. Giving people a direct guidance sometimes and saying, actually, do well here, but maybe not here.
Not here. Exactly. And that should be ongoing.
I agree. No. It's not just a once.
As well. I agree. So we did address that question.
Okay.
Another question before we get the helicopter coming in. Another question is, what can employees without hybrid? Because we also know the hybrid is not applicable to all.
Right.
How can those without a hybrid option foster connectivity? For example, they actually give this example in their article. A large technology company that recently announced that roles could remain remote indefinitely. Right? So that means this organization, everyone works remote. And I do have a client currently, was that way prior to the pandemic, and have every intent to be. How can connectivity, given what has happened around the world, be fostered for these people?
Well, first of all, there's a body of research now which looks at this. There's a lot of stuff out there. But a couple of points are, that managers themselves, first leaders, need to learn how to develop a really good screen audience line or on-screen presence for that matter. Okay? What times a day, can be everything from how they set up their lighting, because they want to make it as appealing as possible for the employee. And then I think what you're going to do is there are certain kind of team-leading activities or get-to-know-you sessions which have got to become part of that. So we stand around the water cooler or we go for coffee when you're at a traditional office.
Yeah?
Yeah? Mm-hmm. And we don't say it's a waste of time.
Not
true. Or we go for drinks after work, right? So online, these occasions have got to be created for people and they've got to be made valuable and seen as valuable.
Until next time, this is Gifty Parker and John Ballen.
Remember, during your busy week ahead, stay good, stay true, and stay beautiful.
Bye-bye.